The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And welcome. It's Friday, January 9th. Waking up to kind of a pleasant morning out there. It's not too cold and it's not snowing or icing or anything like that. I do hear we are going to get some rain a little later in the day, though. We'll have the weather forecast in just a minute. My guest this morning, interim superintendent of Pittsfield Public Schools, Latifah Phillips, joins me for the whole hour, and we'll be talking about many topics of interest and concern with the Pittsfield Public Schools. Lots of stuff going on. Obviously, a new school committee just inaugurated the other day up at City Hall, so we'll talk about that and the process going on right now for reorganizing the two middle schools in the city of Pittsfield. Certainly lots to talk about. Looking forward to that conversation. We'll do that in just a moment. First, the weather forecast from the National Weather Service. Here it is.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny this morning, then mostly cloudy with rain showers likely this afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour, increasing to 35 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of rain 60%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain showers in the evening. Cold with lows in the lower 30s. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour, becoming northwest after midnight. Gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Saturday, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain in the afternoon. Highs around 40. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour, becoming east in the afternoon. Chance of rain 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, so we've got some rain on the way there for sure, and we certainly have some wind. It sounds like a cold front coming through, bringing us some wetter weather here later today. But still, temperatures in the 40s, so not too bad. We can deal with that in the beginning of January, certainly. All right, welcome to the show. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. So happy to have all of you along for the show this morning, whether you're listening to it on WTBR, WSBR, or perhaps you're watching it on PCTV Select or on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301. We welcome you to the program. And also welcoming Dr. Latifah Phillips to the show. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. Good morning. Great to be here with you.
Glad to have you here. Again, we just saw you on Tuesday, mm-hmm. but we knew we were going to come back for a full show here.
That's right.
Today. So welcome to 2026, and we just heard the weather forecast, and we've had some weather stuff going on this week, right? We had a cancellation of school on Tuesday after a two-hour delay. That was probably a little crazy, right, with the weather sort of not cooperating with us that day?
It was. You know, one thing I'm learning is that the weather is not always predictable out here. And so
not a truer
when we
statement
made that
has ever
first
been
call,
said.
We thought we were set, and then it just started shifting.
Yeah. What's that process like of knowing that weather is coming and that you'll be having to make a decision? Are you up very early that day? What goes on?
Sure. So there's a team of us that is up early. We usually start the discussion the night before. And we get our plan set.
Yeah.
We're looking at the weather forecasts. I also have a high school student who who prides himself on studying weather patterns. And I do appreciate, you know, sometimes it's not top of my list.
Yeah.
But when I see that email, I said, okay, let me talk to the team, and usually it's already on their radar.
That's got to be a very objective student, though, who's giving you his opinion about what the weather's going to be the next day.
It is a very informed Email.
Yeah,
it really is.
Well, that's good. That's very handy to have. And do you get a chance to talk to anybody in the city, you know, the public works people, things like that? Because I'm sure they're very much involved in terms of, you know, will the roads be clear? Will it be safe to have walkers going? Things like that. You've also had a lot of times this year, right, where you had the Polar Express running, where you're picking up more. Explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, well, so my transportation director is out on the roads by 3 a.m. along with her city counterparts.
I think that's probably a person that goes to bed very early if you're getting up at 3 or out at 3.
I don't know when she goes to bed, but I know that the hours that she puts in getting ready to get the kids to school and then waiting until the last student is dropped off. It's a really tough job, really appreciative of the leadership over at our transportation department.
Yeah.
But they start driving the roads. The toughest is when there's a projection of snow, or in this case, icy rain.
Yeah.
And it hasn't started before the deadline that we where we need to inform bus drivers.
Yeah. And as we've seen, there are times when it looks like it's a lock, right? You know it's going to snow, you're gonna get this much or ice or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then nothing has started yet.
Right.
And then you're tick, 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 right? And you're looking at, okay, when's this going to start? Are we going to get this at all? And it's a tough decision.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, but mainly it's keeping the students and the faculty and everybody safe, right? Because, you know, there's a lot of factors, I would assume, that go into, you know, not only can the buses start and get on the road and be safe, but then also the number of walkers that we have. I would imagine there's a lot of kids that... that need that bus transportation, but there are some that don't have it and still have to navigate their way to school.
Yeah, and we have two decision-making protocols we use, and the first is for the large buses and the walkers.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get on those side roads, safely transport the kids? Is it safe for the kids to walk? How are the sidewalks? How's the temperature? And then we have the staff protocol where we're talking individual cars, and do we need to make a decision for the whole system, or is this a case-by-case, talk with your supervisor, depending on your specific circumstances?
Yeah. Well, certainly some of those storms are obvious. We know when they're coming, and everybody battens down the hatches and prepares, you know, to hibernate for the day. And then there's those other ones where you just don't know what's going to happen. And then, you know, as I've spoken with the Commissioner of Public Works here, Ricardo Morales, and we've had a lot of conversations about snowstorms and how they prepare for them. And there's a lot that goes into it. People, I think, don't realize what goes on behind the scenes just to keep the roads clear and people safe and students, you know, protected getting to school.
And you would raise the Polar Express, and that's an additional service that we offer to students when the weather is going to be especially cold, you know, when the wind chill is going to be especially cold.
Yeah, those below zero mornings where kids are going to be either walking a good distance or standing out at the bus for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this past snow day, I walk to work. I don't live that far from work.
Oh,
and I said, okay, I want to experience what this is because I think it's important for me to understand. But even when I proudly arrived at the building, my staff informed me, you know, Tyler Street is probably pretty clear. You might need to veer off of the main road. So next time I'll try a different route.
The old adage, why do I live in a place where the wind hurts my face?
Mm.
But here we are. And so we get through it somehow. So that's great. And, you know, that kind of goes into the next topic because the transportation department you talked about is a key factor in what's going on with the reorganization of our two middle schools, right? That was a key factor in making the decision of whether we could even take another step forward and change that around. Let's maybe take a step back for a moment and just lay the table a little bit for what's going on with middle school reorganization.
Sure. So at our last meeting, when the school committee voted to move forward with the planning, a key decision point that I was basing my recommendation on was the ability for us to transport students.
Mm-hmm.
We're still at the same place as we were in December. The transportation team worked over the holidays to see, can we get that time shorter between the three tiers, transporting middle, high, and elementary on different timetables. Mm. And we're still at about 40 minutes in between the different levels.
Mm.
And so there were some other scenarios we were sent to explore, but the main one that I had presented was the 40 minutes in between each level. Mm. So times of schools would need to change. That is a decision that we are hoping to make sooner than later.
Yeah, to finalize.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to let people know, right now we have more of a two-tier system, right, where mm-hmm. we have buses that go out and pick up, what, high school and middle school kids?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And distribute them to those four schools, Taconic, mm-hmm. Pittsfield High, Herberg, and Reed. And then those same buses, once they've delivered all those kids, they start back and they start picking up the elementary school kids and bring them to the eight elementary schools, right?
That's right.
And that's a system that's been in place for, you know, years or decades or whatever. So changing that to a three-tier system where now, what, you'd be picking up the high school kids first, mm-hmm. just to those two schools?
Right. That's
and then,
right. And doing providing citywide transportation,
mm-hmm.
and then circling back and providing citywide transportation for the intermediate grades, mm-hmm. and then coming back and providing transportation to each school, elementary based on
right.
its zone.
And the complication there, I guess, would be for the middle school part, is that now you're sending those same buses, I guess, to the entire city to bring them to one of two schools, whereas so you could have divided it before and said, okay, these buses take these kids and they always go to Herberg.
Right.
And these buses always take these kids and they go to Reed.
That's
and
right.
now you have to basically take all those buses and take kids from each one of those places and bring them to one school and to the other school.
That's right.
That's complicated.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very detailed process.
Yeah,
the transportation
like
team has to look at almost every student riding the bus. And our advisory has been helpful too. A parent raised, what if I have two children going to one each, to each of the schools?
Sure.
Are they standing on the sidewalk and one bus is picking them up to go here, another one picking them up? So we are exploring, are there efficiencies where one bus is in certain neighborhoods and doing a drop off at one building and then at the next, versus one bus only going to a specific building.
Right. That is logistics. There's a lot to
mm-hmm.
that. And
mm-hmm.
I can understand why the team would have to work over the holiday break to sort of do all those scenarios and break them down. So ultimately, though, what you see, and it hasn't been finalized yet, is that high school will start a little bit earlier. Is that the idea?
Right. And so there's a lot of discussion, and there is research
sure.
around later starting times being advantageous to students. But when we talk later times, it's not 5 minutes or 10 minutes. We're really talking substantial time.
Mm.
So the shift is, I don't think it's going to make it better or worse, compared to the current time.
Mm-hmm.
We really are looking at about a five-minute difference.
Yeah, so that's not that much. If
mm-hmm.
if it was 15 minutes or a half an hour or something,
mm-hmm.
you'd have
or
people
an hour.
up with the pickets,
right.
pitchforks and things. So, but I can imagine, so then the next thing is that the middle schools will be slightly later. Is that the idea?
That's right.
Than they are now, because the middle schools and the high schools essentially start school right now about the same time. Their arrival is the same time.
Right, and the middle schools would have a later start, about 40 minutes.
40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they're not going to complain about that.
Right.
and, of course, there's a lot of talk always about the high school age, where there's a lot of after-school activities, sporting activities, clubs, things like that. Those are the things where if you're shifting those a lot later in the day, they might be missing out on some of that, or they wouldn't be able to compete necessarily against other teams where their schools hadn't changed their times, right? Is that
that's
a factor?
Right. That is right.
So that's, again, so many different things to consider. Do the elementary schools basically stay the same, or are they would they potentially be impacted in terms of time also?
The elementaries would be impacted as well. Again, 10, 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
Potentially 20 minutes, but we're really trying to find out, what are the efficiencies? How can we find a few minutes here or there in the school day to make sure that we don't change the timetable mm-hmm. too much?
Right. So transportation, obviously a big thing. What about some of the other factors involved? Obviously, there are teaching and learning impacts, right? There are teachers
mm-hmm.
who will be sort of shifting around, maybe moving to different schools. maybe teaching more or fewer subjects than they're already teaching. It sounds like the fifth grade stripe there is sort of the area where the most change might happen. Explain
right.
that a little
and
bit.
And I'd say the most change and great opportunity. Mm-hmm. Because right now our fifth graders are spread across 8 schools in a very small context. Mm-hmm. And so being able to bring them into one building, I think we'll be able to tailor to our students' needs. Mm-hmm. Small groups will be able to improve our intervention, our intervention program. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to improve our enrichment program. So I think there's great opportunity there.
Mm. Are the fifth graders right now sort of getting a variety of different learning experiences in the different schools where bringing them together into one school, that can be streamlined?
So we have a consistent curriculum mm-hmm. across all of our schools. But again, the opportunity is in the interventions. As students go up each grade level, students have different gaps and they have different needs. Mm-hmm. And if we're able to identify, a small group of students with a specific need, we can provide something for them mm-hmm. instead of having 5 students, we can bring 12 students together and focus specifically on what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side with enrichment, if you're at grade level, you need more, we can also focus on those students. So typically we have core instruction where everyone is getting the same instruction together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have opportunities where we break out for intervention or for enrichment.
Mm. I think I saw in one of the presentations that the idea would be, and this is again, it's not all finalized, right? We put the little mm-hmm. asterisk there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot still to be decided and to finalize. But that there would be 2 teacher teams for the fifth grade. When it would go to Herberg, so mm-hmm. that would be sort of the model that they would experience. So kids, I assume, coming in from elementary school, where a lot of kids have one teacher for everything for the entire day, maybe the earlier grades also have an aide or something like that, mm-hmm. or a co-teacher. But then when they get to fifth grade, that would be almost like a transition where they would be now, they'd have 2 teachers, and they would visit one for ELA and math and another one for science and social studies or something like that. I'm not sure, but it sounds like that might be the model that's being considered.
Right. So the 2-teacher model is what I did propose for this upcoming year. And again, we will get in. We will continue to assess how it's working. But we do have many of our schools on the 2-teacher model right now. And the 2-teacher model is 1 teacher teaching the humanities, social studies, and English language arts, mm-hmm. and the other teacher teaching STEM, science, and math.
Okay.
But we don't have a lot of social studies in our fifth grade right now.
Okay.
And we don't have a consistent curriculum. So that's an area for improvement.
Yeah.
We only have a couple of schools where 1 teacher is teaching all of the subjects in fifth grade. But again, it's that variation that once you get into the intermediate grades, we want to make sure that we're able to focus more deeply on the content of all mm-hmm. all 4 core areas.
I mean, it sounds like a good transition in a way also, because at some point students have to go from having 1 teacher to having multiple teachers. And rather than shocking them into having like 4 teachers or 5
right,
or 6 all
right,
at once when you get to Herberg, that kind of eases them in a little bit.
And I think that was the fear, in the fifth grade, are the students going to come in and now they're going to be rotating across the whole building. So we really took that into account in this first year.
Yeah. What are some of the other considerations and factors about what you have to work through between now and, let's say, the end of this school year to make sure that all the pieces are in place to be able to open both of those schools in September and have everything up and running? There's negotiations with the teachers
right.
and the unions. There's probably things like that going on.
Right. So that's a major next step.
Mm.
Anything related to teachers and instruction, as well as our other unions, our administrators. This impacts every employee group.
Yeah.
So that'll be an immediate next step that we're taking. And then the logistics of moving, right? So we've
if
got
anyone has ever moved, this is moving huge schools and classrooms.
Right,
and things. Yeah.
Right. And different schools have different furniture. That's another thing that we found.
Point.
And so at the most recent working group with our staff, we talked about okay, this is the furniture that we have in Herberg in particular. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be okay with the teachers? What do we need to talk about as relates to the variations of furniture across our fifth grades?
Right. Yeah. All these things that you don't necessarily think of, and you just think about walking into a classroom, but it's not that simple. I would think all the books, the learning materials, as you said, furniture, technology probably is another thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Technology, supplies. Mm. And, you know, having been a teacher, you collect things over years.
Of course.
And so now you've got boxes of different resources that you pull out when you need them. And so we have to take into account that teachers have personal items that are related to the job, and we want to make sure we're able to provide that smooth transition.
Yeah. And then overall, Dr. Phillips, how do you see the sort of benefit to the overall learning experience and the perception of the middle school grades in the Pittsfield Public Schools? I think that's probably on the mind of a mm-hmm. lot of people, right? That's really why we're focusing on something like this, is that maybe the current model that we've had for the past 35, 40 years or whatever doesn't work for Pittsfield anymore. What do we hope to change and to benefit from here?
Yeah, again, I think what I was sharing earlier around really being able to target our interventions and enrichment is going to make a difference, because we're not really seeing strong growth in any of our groups. Mm-hmm. So even our groups that are on grade level or above grade level, I want to see them continue to soar. Those that are behind, I want them to soar and catching up, mm-hmm. right? And the sooner we do that, when we bring them back together in high school, I think that our high school experience will be impacted by this decision.
I would imagine there's probably some opportunities for the elementary grades as well, because now you have these eight buildings where you have essentially neighborhood schools. They're not quite neighborhood the way they used to be, right? With a school on every corner practically, but still they're more regional schools in the district. They will no longer have one grade level in their building. So is that an opportunity for future pre-K or more programs or more specialized programs in those buildings?
Yeah, that is one of the decisions that we are currently assessing. So that's another area. Our first focus was on the intermediate grades, and now we are looking at the elementaries. We're assessing our pre-K numbers. We also have a grant with several early childhood community providers. Mm. It's called the CPPI grant, and that goal is for us to provide high-quality early learning experiences no matter where you are in Pittsfield. So that's both Pittsfield Public Schools, Head Start, 18 Degrees, YMCA, wherever you're going, we want to make sure that you are being prepared for kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And that means that sort of all the cylinders are firing together, right? That we know that we have the partners in the community that can help prepare the students as they're coming in, because that's just as important. You wouldn't want students to come into kindergarten without some of that prep work, right?
That's
and
right.
That's where pre-K does all such good work, because there are some really great learning opportunities for very young children.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Dr. Latifa Phillips is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. She's the superintendent of Pittsfield Public Schools. And we're talking, if you're just joining us, about the middle school reorganization plan that's happening. And when will sort of, obviously decisions have been made and we're moving forward. Is there still another sort of milestone decision that will have to be made somewhere by the school committee or by your administration to officially put this plan into place and saying, yes, we are definitely doing this in September?
So teacher recruitment, I really want to make sure that we're ahead of that. Mm-hmm. And in order for us to recruit, we will need to know where our vacancies are.
Okay.
So I don't want to be behind in that cycle. So I'm not going to say it's a point of a hard decision, but once we get into March, April, I really, at that point, you know,
we should know by then, basically, right?
My hope is that we will know by then, or just feel really confident that we'll be able to move forward mm-hmm. with our staffing.
I would think teachers are very organized and planned out people,
right?
So if
right.
they're thinking about what their plans are for, you know, either joining or leaving a school district, they're probably considering that around that time. It makes sense.
Yeah, and my hope is for our staff to stay, because mm-hmm. transition is really hard. It's mm-hmm. been really hard on this district, and so I want our teachers to know what their options are and to choose to be here, mm-hmm. Even if you don't want to go into the new sixth grade or seventh, eighth grade. There mm-hmm. are many opportunities, so I'd like for teachers to have that option. Mm-hmm. And then we also have many vacancies across the district, and I want to make sure that I can recruit in.
Yeah. And getting that done in a reasonable time. It's always tough doing it at the end of August, beginning of September, right? When
That's
things
right.
are going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads, you know, into the other topic, which was teacher retention and development and things like that. Talk about some of the opportunities and the resources that teachers have by being employed with the Pittsfield Public Schools. When they come here, what opportunities do they have and that are special to this district?
Yeah,
what are we doing for them?
So I am told that we have a very competitive teacher salary mm-hmm. in Pittsfield Public Schools, and I think that is something that we should be able to share out as part of our compensation package.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we've got a robust benefits package, and so I think those are two really important pieces. I want to build on our professional development mm-hmm. and professional growth as another opportunity for coming. Mm-hmm. You know, come here, stay here. We believe in you. We need you, and we want to grow not only your instructional areas, but also I would like teachers to be able to identify areas where they want to grow mm-hmm. and then offer opportunities for that individual growth.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's really important to teachers, right? And mm-hmm. that obviously it's necessary also for their professional status, right? They need professional development. They need to keep learning and, mm-hmm. and keep those points going that they do. Many of them are looking for new educational opportunities as well, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is Pittsfield a good supportive area for that?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. And we also have a strengthening school leadership initiative. Mm-hmm. And we've recently conducted surveys and staff focus groups, administrator focus groups mm-hmm. around who is interested in becoming an administrator, mm-hmm. What training do we need to provide to get our aspiring administrators mm-hmm. The experiences that they need.
Yeah.
So I do think it's a good place to be mm-hmm. If you want to be in the classroom, as well as if you aspire to lead in the building or in our central office.
Mm. Yeah, it is important to keep that pipeline going, right? And mm-hmm. to nurture the next generation mm-hmm. of leaders. And maybe they don't know that they're the next generation of leaders yet, but they maybe at least have to understand that it's a possibility, right?
Right.
And I also think about, back to the middle school reorganization for a minute, there was a survey that you conducted with the teachers in that area to ask them, right? Mm-hmm. What is your preference? And I think that's pretty forward thinking, right? To say, we're not just going to, you know, shoehorn you into what we think you're going to do. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to make some decisions on that. But ahead of that, you're coming in and saying, well, would you like to teach mm-hmm. fifth grade, you know, or would you like to change to something? How strongly do you feel that you'd like to stay here or do something else? And what did you learn from that survey?
Right. Well, so I did learn that. So initially I was looking to see, do we have enough staff interested mm-hmm. In order for us to continue forward? And I felt confident with the information that I received there, but it wasn't binding for any individual teacher or staff person who took it.
Mm-hmm.
We said, this is just informational and to know, do we have enough? But now let's continue the dialogue, because there are a lot of missing pieces that I know that our teachers are waiting to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So
did most teachers respond that they were strongly in favor or generally in favor of doing either staying or doing what they were being asked to do?
I would. So I don't have the survey in front of me.
Sorry.
I don't have it in front of me. There was a strong enough response to know to move forward. We do have staff, itinerant staff, who are shared across buildings. And I would say that's probably the group that I really want to make sure we can provide more information to, because, you know, again, it's tough moving across buildings as it is.
Right.
And so I know there are questions around what that's going to look like.
Yeah. Dr. Latifa Phillips is my guest here this morning, interim superintendent of the Pittsfield Public Schools. And we're reaching that top of the hour, so we're going to take a quick little break here and give you our station ID and thank our underwriters and good things like that. And we'll return with more of this conversation. Maybe we'll talk about the status of the Crosby Elementary building project and some other good things. So we'll be right back after this. It's 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and this is Morning Drive. We'll be return right after this. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio. 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
Do you have a favorite show on WTBR-FM? Did you miss the last episode? We've got good news for you. Most of our shows are now available on podcast. You can subscribe to your favorite and have the latest episode downloaded to your device automatically on Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or Overcast. Go to WTBRFM.com/podcasting and find out more today. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
For over four decades, Berkshire AHEC has been serving the health education needs of Berkshire County. We offer Massachusetts food allergen training, the Berkshire AHEC Health Scholars Program at BCC, medical interpreter training, and the Tobacco-Free Community Partnership. For more information, visit our website, berkshireahec.org, or call us at 413-842-5160. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, watching us on the PCTV Select app, and at Access Pittsfield, channel 1301 on the cable dial. We appreciate you being here this morning and listening to our interview with Dr. Latifa Phillips. She is the interim superintendent of the Pittsfield Public Schools, and we're having a really great conversation about lots of things that are happening right now. It's a very busy time. When is it not a busy time in the public schools? But always important, and something that everyone in the community either directly involved with or paying for. And so reasonable to expect that you know, we like to know what's going on. We'll be right back with that conversation in just a minute. First, let's get to the weather forecast one more time from the National Weather Service and see what's hitting us later today. Here we go.
Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny this morning, then mostly cloudy with rain showers likely this afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour, increasing to 35 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of rain 60%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain showers in the evening. Cold with lows in the lower 30s. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour, becoming northwest after midnight. Gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Saturday, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain in the afternoon. Highs around 40. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour, becoming east in the afternoon. Chance of rain 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. Our weather forecast for today from the National Weather Service. And you're joining us here on the Morning Drive. It's Friday, January 9th. And joining me again here in the studio, Dr. Latifa Phillips. Good morning, Dr. Phillips.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks again for being here this morning. So we just got done talking about a lot of what's going on with the middle school reorganization. There's another big project that is looming, I guess, or sort of rumbling around in the background, which is the building project on the Crosby School campus.
Mm-hmm.
So again, maybe set the table a little bit for that and tell us what is planned for that site and sort of where we are right now.
Sure. So we are planning to have a new building, and the district applied maybe a year and a half ago now, or at least a year ago, for support from the MSBA.
Yeah.
And we were approved for the initial phase that we're just coming out of.
Right.
Coming out of that, we were approved to study a new building for Conti and Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
And also a consideration of Stearns Elementary.
Mm.
And so through this feasibility study phase, we will look at all of those options. There will be plenty of opportunity for public input. When we're building a building for the community that's going to be there for the next 20, 30 years,
yeah.
We want to make sure that we have ample input into the decision.
Yeah. The last big building project here in Pittsfield involved Taconic High School, and that was, I think everybody saw, a very long process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned this before. I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but when that process was just getting started, my kids hadn't gone into kindergarten yet.
Wow.
And by the time they graduated Taconic High School, the building had not opened.
Wow. Well, I
that
hope.
That was a long process.
My hope is that we're not in that long of a process because both Crosby and Conti buildings are in need of a new building.
Yeah, those are two out of the three of the oldest, and sort of those buildings have not been remodeled or touched at all in over 50 years, right? And I think
mm-hmm.
Crosby is even older, early 60s, so
mm-hmm.
60, 65 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
That particular building was built as a junior high school also,
oh.
right, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, from what I've heard from the School Building Needs Commission, I think I watch too many meetings on PCTV. I wonder why that is. But basically that you know, it just does not lend itself to be an elementary school, which, of course, is
uh-huh.
what it is.
Uh-huh. And, you know, something else interesting I learned during my walkthroughs, I have walkthroughs of, mm-hmm. of all of our schools. If something breaks, if a window breaks, we can't replace it.
Yeah.
So that's...
because of asbestos and things like that, you don't want to disturb some of the original building materials. You would never build with those materials today.
Right.
But they did back then.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that also, behooves us to get into the new building, build the new building
yeah.
and get there as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Just for the students. It's important to have a nice learning environment in
yeah.
addition to, you know, what's happening inside of the learning environment.
Yeah, certainly. And then the model of bringing those two schools together onto one campus will actually from what I understand, and again, this is all probably part of this feasibility study, which is what's undergoing right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the idea is to break it into two schools within that same campus. It's kind of one big building, but two different schools that would share some resources in between, like a cafeteria,
right,
or a gymnasium or a auditorium or something like that.
Right. That is the vision that's been set for that building, mm-hmm, with the lower grades on one side, the upper grades on the other, and then the shared resources in the middle. Mm-hmm. But that's part of what we'll study,
yeah,
you know, the designs and the architect.
Yeah. That'll be exciting, though. I mean, that's kind of fun when you think about it.
If
you've
so
already made a decision, you say, well, we obviously need a new, but you can't keep schools around for 100 years. They just don't, they don't make it. They don't function well. They may stay as a building. And, you know, of course I say that, and we're coming up on the 100th anniversary of Pittsfield High School, which was built, I think, in either 1929 or 1931. You know, that building might outlast all of us.
And you know, at the end of phase one, the phase we're just coming out of, one of the final steps were the projection, the enrollment projections. And it was really interesting, just that process of looking, I think, over a decade, factors such as childbirth rates in the city and you know, migration, movement, and ultimately the MSBA made a recommendation based on all of the projection information.
And what was the recommendation?
Oh my goodness. A little smaller, a little less than what we were hoping,
smaller
because
footprint.
I think they're projecting that our population is decreasing, which is true. Mm-hmm. We are down I think it's 178 students this school year.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, you know, again, it's like I'm reflecting back to that weather process. It's like you believe you have a projection, you make it with the information you have, and you hope you got it right.
Yeah. Crystal balls can only be so good, right? But, you know, you're certainly taking information from sort of the best estimate. They're not just, you know, guessing on this stuff. They're making some really educated guesses on this.
That's right.
So then talk about the part about Stearns, right? Because there was some question as to whether the Stearns school community was also going to be brought in as part of that. And there was some decision making at the school committee level where they decided not to include that. How did that play out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Stearns has a special model, mm-hmm, an inclusion model, and is being really successful in serving our students with special needs as well as our peer population. And so we definitely want to take into account that factor, mm-hmm, in the Stearns Elementary School. But also in planning for the city for 20 years out, we have to consider the size of our different populations and just study it.
Yeah.
And so when we included Stearns, it was just to keep the flexibility to study,
mm-hmm,
just so that when we finalize the decision and people reflect back, you know, 10 years out when people are reflecting back, they can know that we did study,
mm-hmm,
where our population is going across our elementary schools. There's other decisions we're going to have to make. There is an initial study that was done, and the study made some projections on how the whole city, the district, needs to move forward with its elementaries. This is phase one of that.
Yeah.
And Stearns is on the same side of the city as Conte and Crosby.
Yeah.
So therefore, just for the sake of studying it, and after studying, having public input, then a decision will be made.
Okay. So that decision hasn't been made yet, though. It's still basically under study.
Right.
Yeah. And then that would factor in, I would imagine, to the size that you were just mentioning, that the state is saying, well, you don't have enough students between these two schools to build the size of the school that you want to build. You know, the Stearns students could figure into that somehow. But that would have to be made now before you put shovel in the ground, right?
Right. Once we determine the projected enrollment, That's what we're building for, and it's not going to change.
Yeah.
And so including Stearns in the study allows us to study for, I think, 600 students.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, if it's just the Conti-Crosby population, which would drop down to, I think the projected numbers were maybe 450 students, then that's the size that we build the building for. So it's just about having flexibility to study and then make the final decision. Yeah.
And like you said, this is all tied into a larger discussion about how many buildings we have and how we educate students from across the city. Certainly, I think it was mentioned at one of the school building needs meetings that we have the same number of school buildings that we had in, you know, the late 70s or early 80s, whenever the last big change was made, but we have thousands less students, but different needs, right? And we teach differently now, and there are different requirements and things, but just the fact that we just may not need all those buildings, and it's more efficient to do the kinds of things that we're imagining that we can do at the Crosby campus with this new school.
Right.
And that could happen in other places in the city as well.
Right. And something else that I am thinking about in my entry planning, and soon I'll need to make a recommendation for the budget and my strategy for moving forward. Economic integration of our students is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also part of improving schools, is having schools with diverse economic populations.
Yeah.
And so you will continue to hear me talking about our community schools. And I'm really working with our team and want to work with our families and community around a strategy, something different for those two buildings, because they have been underperforming for I would say years, but many will say decades.
Mm.
And if we know this, we have to do something different.
Yeah.
And I do believe that the buildings, the facilities themselves, are part of the challenge.
Yeah, definitely a factor, no doubt about it. And not just that they're older buildings, right? But it was really the design of those buildings as an open classroom concept, which is, you know, it had its moment for about 5 minutes in the 1970s, and then everybody got their wits about them again and said, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And it just was a model, it seems to me, from a non-educator, just did not work. And you're speaking to someone who ended up going to high school with that exact concept and went through it for 4 years. So I mm-hmm. as a student, I experienced it. Interesting is probably the word I would put. But certainly it doesn't seem like it's leading to the kind of outcomes that we want to expect from our education model here in Pittsfield, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Morningside School and Conti Community School.
Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Latifah Phillips is my guest here this morning. If you're just joining us on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and we're talking about everything, education and school buildings and reorganizations, all kinds of good stuff. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was your thoughts on the conversation that we're having statewide right now about the MCAS test.
Mm-hmm.
There was a referendum ballot question about a year and a half ago, I think, that people pretty much said their preference was get rid of the MCAS. We don't want a high-stakes test to be figured into a graduation requirement in the state of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, it seems like the state is sort of gathering steam again to put some new testing requirements in place that wouldn't be an MCAS, but it kind of sounds like an MCAS in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
What's currently going on with that, and what do you think of it?
Yeah, so there's a lot of conversation going on around how MCAS will be replaced. I will admit that I've been more concerned with our district.
Sure.
And where we're going right now. And where we're going right now, we did submit a new competency determination policy. Now that MCAS is not a requirement for graduation.
Is that something other districts have to do also with in the vacuum of not having an MCAS?
Every district had to do that. And in particular, I wanted to make sure that this year's graduating class, that our students and families knew what was going to be needed for our students to graduate this year. We only have a small number of students that have a specialized plan for this year. Our students who are graduating this year, the MCAS, passing the MCAS test can still count towards their graduation competency, but those who have not passed had to go on to a different plan. And so
some of those students already took the MCAS, right? When they were in 10th grade.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in our policy, currently we are looking at the curriculum assessments and grades in the cores, the final exam as the indicator.
For every subject that they're taking in high school.
And the curriculum, you know, the common curriculum assessment. Mm-hmm. This will continue to evolve, but that's what we have now. There's also a portfolio opportunity for a student to demonstrate competency. So we have our policy in place to move forward. I am hearing some talk about statewide exams. You know, I have been in other states and seen that administered. Mm-hmm. I'm not new to that.
Yeah.
So
New York has its Regents exam or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
New Mexico also had, you know, while I was there, a statewide core exam.
Do you think that it matters that we have an exam as a requirement for graduation like that?
Well,
do you think it helps?
There's not one source of data. I think that's what's important. Even with MCAS, MCAS provides information, important information. The question is the stakes of one piece of information, right? And so we still continue to take the MCAS test. Mm-hmm. It's still required.
Yeah.
It's just not going to determine whether or not you graduate.
Right.
It gives us an opportunity to compare our growth and outcomes with like communities and communities that are not similar. But we take different assessments, our own curriculum assessments. There are others who use our same curriculum. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always helpful to have a comparative lens.
Right.
And to also know that one test doesn't always tell you everything that you need to know.
And not every student is great at taking tests either. It doesn't necessarily mean they haven't learned something, right? Or that they're not capable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that some students test very poorly. And the other part about the MCAS, I guess, is that it also helps districts evaluate how they're doing, right? How they're teaching, how if they're being successful in their curriculum and their tactics and things like that. Is that going to morph and change any in the Pittsfield Public Schools based on this? Or are we still using it as a tool to sort of gauge how we're doing?
Well, it's an end of year test. So it tells us, again, one piece of information. We have our internal assessment that we administer 3 times a year that informs our growth. And that is an assessment that we look at, you know, more regular than MCAS. Mm-hmm. So
rather than just one point in time, one snapshot of a moment, you've got more of a data trail that you can sort of track.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds more important to me than having just the MCAS. It sounds like there's a lot of points that you can look at.
Mm-hmm.
Is there too much testing going on? Is it, does it get in the way sometimes of what we're trying to do to teach and learn?
You know, it can get in the way if it's testing for the sake of testing, right? And so I think one of the things that we are trying to do, and I'm really wanting us to do, is if we're going to collect the data, let's make time to review it and determine what decisions we're going to make because of the data. Because otherwise, it's not time well spent if we are just gathering information and acknowledging the information, but then not circling back and taking steps to know what to do differently next time.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. If you think about it, you can collect all the data you want if you don't do anything about it. I guess the other problem is that you can't do something about something unless you have the data, right? You can't, if you can't measure it, you can't fix it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So it's a little of both.
And there's so many ways to collect data that we also have to really be thoughtful about what is the information that I really need. And there was, you know, as a teacher, in when I was a middle school teacher, I also collected student surveys, you know, that, that I administered, I administered as information for myself on how my class was going, right? So every different level, you know, that we have data that our principals are looking at for the whole school building. And then my, my team is looking at a broader set of data. So data is important. You can drown in data. So we have to be really thoughtful about what data is important to which users, and make sure that we're not collecting, we're not spending time just to take tests.
Right. Well, I appreciate you letting us know some of that sort of internal stuff that happens, right? That it's so easy to just look at a data point and make a judgment on that and a decision and a talking point. I mean, there's so many people that will do that freely on social media without actually hearing some of the things that go on underneath to say, okay, well, there's more to it than that. You know, there's a lot going on.
There is. Yep.
Dr. Latifa Phillips, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, only a few minutes left here of the show. And just the other day, this week, we had the inauguration of a brand new school committee. Only one returning member, Dan Elias. Everyone else is pretty much going to be new at this. I don't think anyone else on that dais has served as a school committee member other than, of course, Mayor Marchetti, who is now the school committee chair. So that will be kind of an interesting alignment, right?
I think committee member Yan.
Of course, Kathy Yan, former chair. Yes, my mistake. Yep. So there will be some experience there for sure. But a good number of people doing this, going around for the first time. What will be some of the challenges for you as a superintendent working with school committee members that really will probably need to get up to speed, at least to a certain extent, on their responsibilities and then also sort of the magnitude of what goes on in the district?
Sure. So I've been in several districts, and in a couple of my districts in my leadership position, I was the school board liaison. So I'm not new to to school committees changing, and it's a part of it's a part of the process. And so I think one thing I've seen is when new members are elected, you go through the training that the impact of the school committee is as a group. And I think that's a different concept that that people may not know when they're running. And I've seen this across different district states. That's just you know, the school committee's strength is it's how they make decisions as a group. Right.
Because certainly you're going to have a variety of opinions on different issues. Right.
Right.
But then eventually they'll have to come together and make some sort of decision as many different decisions on every agenda. There are consequential items that they're voting on.
And then I think there are a lot of laws to protect our students, to protect staff. And I think that's something that often surprises people when you transition from being a private citizen to being an administrator or an elected official, especially in the school system. We've got FERPA laws to protect student information, and we've got laws to protect staff information. And so that makes it really, I think that that's part of the learning curve.
I'll bet. Yeah, a lot. So they'll have their work cut out for them for sure. The first school committee meeting of the year is coming up next Wednesday, important to say. And so hopefully a lot of people will be engaged and watch that on the channels of PCTV, or maybe even go to City Council chambers and go to the school committee meeting and watch the proceedings. It's always good to see people get involved and be a part of their government and their school. department. Dr. Latifa Phillips, thank you so much for being here today. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, it's
always
a pleasure.
Appreciate you coming in.
I can't believe we're out of time already.
It goes so fast, doesn't it?
Yep.
But we will bring you back, and we'll do updates definitely on the middle school reorganization and the building project and all kinds of good stuff in the coming days. So
sounds
thank you.
Good. Thank
all
you
right.
so much.
Thanks,
Have
everybody.
A good day.
Yeah, you too. And thanks, everybody, for listening, tuning in, and we will see you again next week. Brian Burkle will be here hosting on Monday morning. Take care.